forgot. I got to preach the whole message over again. No, I'm just kidding. The charge was, first of all, to preach the word. Stick to the Bible, folks. And be ready. Know how to use it. You know, Brother Harmon was challenging again at Sunday school. Know how to learn. If you don't know, learn how to lead somebody to the Lord. It's a very simple thing to do. Salvation is not complicated.
Right.
Learn to do it. It's an urgent message. The third charge here. Now here's where it starts getting personal. Here's where it starts making us wiggle a little bit. Look what it says. Be instant in season, out of season. What's the next word? Reprove. Being reproved is never fun, is it? It talks about being convicted. It talks about how our sin must be pointed out. It's funny sometimes, especially as a preacher, you know, watching the crowd when you start mentioning the word sin. All of a sudden they pull the cell phone, check the cell phone, what time is it? I don't know what time it is yet. Sin. Sin must be pointed out because it plays a big part in our life, folks. If it's not pointed out, if it's not taken care of, it causes problems. It's one of those things where today we're talking about taking the old path. It's not popular to preach on sin. But it's Bible. Now, you can't say, you know, that every now and then we do preach on sin. But it's not drilled into our heads every Sunday, is it?
No.
Amen? But when there is a problem, it needs to be pointed out. There's a lot of places. I was watching an interview on CNN with a certain pastor. I won't mention his name. And he was asked, do you ever preach on sin? He said right off the bat, no, I do not. I don't believe it's right. I don't believe it's our job to preach on sin. Wow. Then how can you lead somebody to the Lord unless you show them their need of a Savior because of their sin? Reproving is necessary. No, it's not fun, but it's necessary. I'm so glad my mom and dad taught me that when I stole something, it was wrong. That when I lied, it was wrong. It was a sin.
Right.
I'm glad they taught me that because it saved me from a lot of trouble later on in life. I've told you this before. My dad is a police officer. He'd always walk into people's homes and bring their kids home after they had been doing something they shouldn't. And he'd tell them, he said, you better teach them to do what's right now or I'll be teaching them in jail later on. Reproving. And the next word there, rebuke. A rebuke is more like a warning against something. When you reprove and rebuke, you're pointing out a sin and you're letting it know its outcome. When you go into a bank and rob a bank, what's going to probably be the outcome? You eventually will get caught. And you will go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200, right? There are consequences for it. Folks, we need to know what the outcome of sin is. You know, just as much as sin is not preached on much today, neither is the outcome of sin. What is the end of sin? Death and hell. That's also not a popular topic these days. We love to talk about heaven, amen? I love to talk about heaven. I can't wait to get there. Don't send me there right now, but I can't wait to get there. But you know what? Hell is also a real place. When I got saved, when the Lord was convicting me before I got saved, you know what was mostly on my mind as a young teenager? The fact that if I died right now, I was going to hell. That's what played the biggest part in it. I didn't want to go. I was scared to death of it. Folks, we need to know sin's outcome. Sticking to the old path requires that, listen, we learn from the Bible what sin is, what's right, what's wrong, what God has laid down, so that we don't suffer the consequences of it. Even as a Christian, yes, your sin has been forgiven. It's under the blood of Christ. Amen. But sin is still there as a part of our life. We still wrestle with it each and every day. It can still keep us from having a sweet fellowship with the Lord. It can keep us out of His will. We must reprove and we must rebuke sin, folks. And then also, he says another word there. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Here we get to the good side of the thing, of it, at least. That word exhort, it's talking about encouraging. Encouragement. We love to hear encouragement, don't we? Well, you know what? There's many times, more than I can ever count, my dad had to reprove me and rebuke me for something. But I praise the Lord for a godly father that would also teach me, this is what you should be doing. And he'd help me do the right thing. Encouragement and pointing out a biblical solution. So many times we're quick to point each other's errors out, or even in ourselves, you know, we see we're doing this wrong, but we never look for an answer to it. If I'm not supposed to be doing this, what am I supposed to be doing? And it says with long suffering. It's another word for patience. Patience. Don't be careful. I'm not going to say don't, but be careful praying for patience. Ask. There you go. Yeah. Think about what you're asking for. You know, people might not respond. Even ourselves might not respond immediately. Just keep preaching God's word. Be long suffering with people. Think of a perfect example, and I know he wouldn't mind me using this example, Luis from the cockfighting ring. We have been praying for that man for years. Not just us. I've talked to the pastor before us. He had been praying for him and talking to him for years, and I don't know, maybe even before them. He finally came to know the Lord as a Savior. You know how many times he has gotten up and stormed out of this building because he was furious with what he heard. But Maranatha was long-suffering, patient, and he came to know the Lord as a Savior. Folks, just keep preaching what's right. It's not popular. It may not be accepted, especially at first. It may never be accepted, but at least you'll stand before God knowing that what you taught, what you were witnessing, what being a witness of, what you were trying to share with others, it was what God said. It was right. Be long-suffering with what? Look what it says there. Be with all long-suffering, patience, but what else? And doctrine. How many of us can live off of ice cream? Man, everybody's face lit up. Think about it. Let's just ask this. How many of y'all like ice cream? Amen. We might like to think we could live off ice cream. But you won't. We're intelligent enough to know that, aren't we? You've got to have other vitamins and minerals. I mean, hey, it has calcium. It's got milk in it, doesn't it? Yeah, amen. But you need more than just ice cream to live off of. Ice cream's delicious. I can see everybody. Sizzler has a dessert bar, don't forget. Amen. It's good to hear preaching on heaven, isn't it? It's good to hear preaching on the promises of God. It's good to hear preaching on all the good things that the Bible has to say. But if you preach doctrine, some of it's hard. Some of it really works on our hearts to accept. Some of it's like eating the Brussels sprouts, too. If you like Brussels sprouts, you're just weird. Okay? Sorry, I didn't mean to call you weird, but man, I can't eat those things. But hey, they're very good for you, from what I understand. Now, I love spinach. That's my Brussels sprout, amen. The doctor has recently put me on a very strict diet. Basically, no sugar, no carbs. What am I allowed to eat? No rice, no bread, no pastas. That's all I ever eat. I've had to change my... Seriously, you said it right there. All joking aside, a change had to be made. For me, it was a very painful change. I love spaghetti. That is my very favorite meal. When my wife fixes spaghetti, I don't just get a little plate of spaghetti. There's at least 3 or 4 pounds of pasta sitting on my plate. That explains it, doesn't it? I can't do that anymore. Now, I can't... We're trying to think through this logically. Now, this past week when we had spaghetti, I had a very small portion of spaghetti and a large salad beside. It's abuse. It's abuse. Okay, this is perfect. I love what I'm hearing here, because this is making a good point. We look at that and say, man, that's abuse. That's suffering. A change hurts, doesn't it? You know, there's a lot of doctrine in the Bible. It's easy to accept. No problem at all. It's like eating the ice cream, having all the good stuff. But there's also some things in the Bible that doesn't go in line with the way we like to live. And it's rough. It's harsh. It requires change. But here's where we've started moving, folks. And here's where I'm talking about taking the old path. Instead of, well, the Bible says this, but that's just too much. I'm just going to live this way. Instead of the old path. Because we don't want to change. We don't want the abuse, like the word we use there. We look at it, well, that's just going too far. Listen, in doctrine, all real preaching of the Word of God is an explanation and application of Bible doctrine. All of it, folks. We can't pick and choose what we want to read from the Bible to live off of. It's all of it, or it's not going to do any good. Stick to what the Bible says. Some folks have come up to me, several folks have come up to me, Pastor, what do you think about Pastor so-and-so on television, or this doctor, or this person, that person? And the first thing I'll say, are you sure you want me to answer that? Not because I'm going to be mean or anything like that, but if the person does not line up with what the Bible says, I'm going to say so. Amen. And I'm going to warn you against them. Or her. It's not because I'm trying to be mean. I'm not trying to say that what we preach is superior or anything like this, but it is what the Bible says. And there's a lot of those other preachers that do not preach what the Bible says. If they're off in one area, you shouldn't be listening to them. Period. If you go into battle with a sword that has one little crack in it, you're in trouble. If you know that crack is there before you go into battle, what are you going to try and do?
Replace it
with one that doesn't, that's not cracked. Well, folks, if you're listening to a preacher that's off in one area from the Bible, guess what? He's got a cracked sword. It's not going to function right. It's not going to work. It's going to fail you. Stick to the Bible.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That's good to hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, look what it says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We saw the charge given. Now we see a challenge. He talks to them about a people that will come, a time that will come, when the people will not endure sound doctrine. You know, more and more, you read the news and you look at the news just as much as I do. This book is not wanted as much as it used to be.
Right.
This book is being kicked out of more places than what it used to be. It's being denied. People aren't wanting to hear what God's Word says. They refuse God's Word. Look in John chapter 6. Hold your place here. We're coming back to it. But look over in John chapter 6. We're almost done here. Hold with me. John chapter 6. Verse 66. It's interesting. What's the number? 666. Look at what the verse says. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, he's talking about disciples that were not willing to follow what Christ taught. Weren't willing to follow his teachings. To give up their own lives and pick up the cross and follow him. You know, in verse 60, look what it says. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Jesus tried to talk with them. "Listen, this shouldn't offend you. This is what my words say." But he says, if you can't follow me, you cannot be my disciple. If you can't do what my teachings say, what the Bible says, you cannot follow God. And because of that, many of them from that point went back and walked no more with him, the Bible says. They gave up. They weren't willing to hear the Word of God. So what do they do? Well, back in our text there in Timothy, it says they gather to themselves teachers. It says, after their own lust, shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, they will gather people who will say what they want to hear. You know, if I never preached on sin, that'd make a whole lot more people feel comfortable, wouldn't it? But it's not what God's Word says. You see, a big crowd is not always a sign of God's blessing on a church. Sometimes it's a sign that there's something wrong. Something's not being taught right. Not always. There's a lot of big churches that, man, they preach the Word of God in an excellent way. Not always, but I'm just saying. It's not, a big crowd is not always a sign of God's blessing. It's done based on their wrong desires. It says in there in verse 3, but after their own lusts. Their own desires, not what God desires. They don't want the truth. They get what they want instead of what they need. You know, we're asking for Brother Murphy that God will give him the messages that we need. Folks, these are our days. These are the days that we live in. More and more Christians as a whole, churches as a whole, we're leaving the old paths, folks. We're leaving what God, where God meant for us to be, spiritually. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn from their ears, or turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. Who did the turning in that verse?
Themselves.
The people made a conscious decision to turn away from God and to turn what they wanted to. The fact is that simply many do not want the truth. Why do people come in here and as soon as they hear what kind of church they have, boom, they're out of here? Because it's not what they want to hear. And instead of the truth, they put in a faulty replacement. Another gospel. The very same person I was talking about earlier that was interviewed by CNN, he asked him, well, how do you get to heaven? And the guy replied, well, by what you believe about Jesus. That sounds somewhat getting there at least. So the guy turned around and says, so that means if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't go to heaven? What about the Jews? Oh, well, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. He just started backing off right away. And the interviewer could not get out of him how to go to heaven. A solid answer. He wouldn't give it. He ended up saying, well, it's just not my decision. It's God's decision when it comes down to it. That's a faulty replacement for the Word of God, folks. We need to stick to what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Anybody who preaches something, anything different than that, they're a false teacher, folks. You better beware. It's amazing what folks will believe, knowing that it rejects what the Word of God says, and they just keep on. We can't be like that. Folks, let's make a decision. You know, going into this week, one of the last challenges I want to give you, we looked at that verse there in Chronicles already about things that can hinder us from having a revival. The last thing we want to look at here, folks, before we go into the services this week, stay to the old path. Stick to what the Bible says and do it. Don't look for other cheap alternatives. They're nowhere as good as this book and the teachings of this book. And this invitation here in just a few moments, I want to challenge you. Going into the revival services this week, even right now, make a vow before God that you'll seek out and take and walk in the old path. In the way that the Bible lays down. It's not always the ice cream. There's a lot of good things in the Bible. A lot of sweet things. Praise the Lord. They far outnumber the bad. Amen? But even the hard things. Let's strive to take those old paths. Amen. To do things the way God lays them out to be lived in our lives. Let's forget. I'm not going to say, you know, have nothing to do with. We have a great brother church down here, sister church down here, down the road. Pastor Martina is doing a wonderful job. I'm not saying just forget what other churches are doing, but let's get our eyes off of these. Wow, how come we can't be like them? Maybe it's because we're teaching what the Bible says. And start keeping ourselves in the center of God's plan and what His path is for us in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's have all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Let's all stand. Just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. Chris, if you would, go on, head on back and go ahead and get ready for the baptism there. Let me ask you first of all. No, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? You know, we said that verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Has there been a time in your life? Now, I'm not talking about, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian because just over time I've come to just trust in Christ. Has there ever been a moment, a time in your life you've made a conscious decision? Lord, at this point on, I'm going to place all my trust in you as my Savior. And you ask Him to forgive you for your sins and to come to your heart and save you. Have you ever done that before? My friend, if you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that now. You come forward in the invitation, we'll have somebody from the Bible show you how you can be saved. Christian, let's make a decision this morning. We're going to follow the old paths. That we're going to stick to what the Bible says we're to be doing. We're not going to look for any alternatives. We're not going to look for any side phrases, any ways out. But we're going to stick to what the Bible says and strive to the best of our ability to obey what God has for us in His Word. Stick to the Bible. Let's make that decision this morning. Heavenly Father, God, I ask you to please bless us. Invitation. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's lost, that you'll save them. God, those of us that are saved, God, I pray that you'll strengthen us in what we looked at this morning. God, the world offers so many alternatives, so many other gospels, other preachings, other doctrines that can throw us off very easily. God, I pray we'll stick to what your word says and that we'll live our lives according to your word and your word alone. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Page number 489 in your hymnals. Let's sing the first verse. After the first verse, the invitation's open. You come forward and talk with the Lord this morning. 489.